Limited Q3 2025 earnings conference call. Please note that all participants' line will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to the management. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, friends. I'm very pleased to welcome you to our Q3 fiscal year 2025 earnings call. I have with me our Managing Director, Nilesh, our CFO, Ramesh, and our Head of Investor Relations, Ravi. We look forward to sharing with you our highlights for the quarter, as well as outlook for the year ahead. We are very happy to report another quarter of strong performance across our key markets, both on a sequential and year-over-year basis. This has been backed by continued improvement in margins and profitability. I would like to highlight that our margins are the highest we have achieved in the last 5 years, despite higher investments in R&D during the period. We feel confident of maintaining our growth momentum going ahead, with margins in the range of 22%-23% in the current fiscal year. Our U.S. business delivered strong quarter-over-quarter and year-over-year growth this quarter, with revenues at, again, a 5-year high. This has been led by volume growth in inline products and contribution from new products like Mirabegron that helped us offset the anticipated competition in products like Albuterol and Suprep. Our respiratory portfolio continues strong, with higher market shares in most of the key products. We look forward to strong close to the current fiscal year, as well as continued momentum in the year ahead. Apart from key products like Tolvaptan, we have an exciting portfolio of injectable products like Glucagon, Risperdal Consta, Liraglutide, which we anticipate bringing to market next fiscal year that should help us deliver strong growth in the year. We continue to improve our profitability in the U.S., led by a better product mix and higher efficiencies in the base business. We are very optimistic of our long-term growth strategy in the U.S. as it continues to evolve from our business continues to evolve from a commoditized generic business to more complex portfolio of injectables, respiratory, and biosimilars to ultimately a portfolio of strategic specialty assets. We believe that our pipeline will enable us to continue to drive the shift to complex products to over 50% of our portfolio over the next couple of years. Coming to India, we reported growth of 11.9% year-over-year, led by growth in India formulations business and additional tenders in our global institutional business. Our India formulations business recorded growth of 9.1% for the 9 months this fiscal year against IPM growth of 8.2%. While key therapies like diabetes, cardiac, GI grew ahead of the market, and we also increased our chronic share, muted growth in the respiratory category affected our overall performance during the quarter. We were very pleased to strengthen our diabetes portfolio with the acquisition of the human insulin range of products from Eli Lilly and also 3 trademarks from Boehringer Ingelheim for the Indian market. We feel confident on continuing to deliver above-market growth in our India formulations business, backed by our strong portfolio of innovative medicines and in-licensed products and extensive reach through the 10,000-people sales force. Switching to R&D, our R&D as a percentage of sales was at 7.7% during the quarter and 7.4% for the 9 months. We successfully filed ranibizumab in EU during the quarter and are looking forward to the U.S. filing in the coming quarters. We have an exciting pipeline with more than 20 respiratory products and 40 injectable products in development and plan to file more than 30 ANDAs in the next 2 years, of which more than 50% will be complex products. As previously guided, we expect R&D to be around 1,800 crores for fiscal year 2025, which will mean a significant increase in our R&D spend in quarter four. From a compliance perspective, we received the EIR from the U.S. FDA for our Pithampur Unit 1 manufacturing facility with VAI classification during the quarter. So far this year, we have received EIRs for Aurangabad and Dabhasa and have successfully completed inspections at Somerset and Nagpur injectable facility with zero observations. We would like to reiterate that we are committed to ensure that all our sites are fully compliant with the US FDA and other regulatory agencies around the world. Before I hand it over to Ramesh, I would like to say that we remain optimistic to grow our business in the years ahead. Our R&D capabilities and pipeline are gaining momentum, be it in our investments in various respiratory platforms like Ellipta and Respimat, or the focus on complex platforms in injectables like iron colloids, peptides, 505(b)(2)s, and long-acting injectables, and also our growing portfolio of biologics. We are also creating some unique differentiators like green propellant programs for our respiratory franchise. As I have mentioned earlier, we also continue to evolve our innovation pipeline to ramp up our specialty business in the years ahead. We believe our approach on the pipeline front and our commercial strategy will drive long-term sustainable growth for the company and also build long-term value for our shareholders. With this, I will hand it over to Ramesh for a deeper analysis of our performance.
Thank you, Vinita. Friends, welcome you all to our Q3 FY25 earnings call. This has been another quarter of consecutive double-digit growth across the top and profit lines. I'm particularly pleased to highlight our EBITDA margins at 24.3% during the quarter, which is the highest that we have achieved in the last 5 years. Now, diving into the numbers, sales for Q3 FY25 came in at rupees 5,619 crores as compared to 5,080 crores in Q3 last year, a growth of 10.6% year-on-year. On a nine-month basis, sales came in at 16,630 crores versus 14,761 crores last year, a growth of 12.7% year-on-year. We've registered robust growth across most of our key geographies. India business has grown by 11.9% year-on-year. North America has grown 12.3% year-on-year. EMEA grew 20.9% year-on-year, whilst API grew 4% year-on-year. The US business. During the quarter, the US business recorded sales of $235 million, a growth of 10.5% year-on-year and 6.8% quarter-on-quarter on a constant currency basis. On a nine-month basis, US sales were $682 million, a growth of 12.5% as compared to 9 months of FY24. As Vinita mentions, whilst we have benefited from volume growth in inline products and new product introductions, this has been offset by low single-digit price declines in base products and anticipated new generic competition in products like Albuterol and Suprep. Our respiratory portfolio continued the strong performance with high market share in most key products like Albuterol and Afamitrol. We also continue to execute on a strategy to improve our profitability in this segment, with another quarter of strong profitability from this business. On the long term, we remain confident of consistent delivery of profitable growth through an increasing share of complex products in our portfolio. On a full year basis, FY25 basis, we anticipate our US business to deliver double digit growth ahead of our earlier guidance of high single digit growth in the segment. India. Coming to India, the India business has grown by 11.9% year on year during the quarter, and 16% year-on-year during the nine-month period ending nine-month period now. Within this, the prescription business has grown by 5.8% year-on-year during Q3 FY25. On a nine-month basis, the prescription business has grown at 9.1%, outperforming IPM by 1.1x. Chronic share during the quarter was higher at 65%, with key segments like diabetes and cardiology going ahead of the IPM growth. The share of in-licensed products is around 12%, similar to the 12% last year, which also positively impacts our profitability going ahead. Other businesses. Revenue in your ex-India, ex-North America formulations business, which includes EMEA, ROW, and emerging markets, has increased 7.5% year-on-year to 1,277 crores and now constitute 23% of our sales. On a nine-month basis, revenues have grown 12.6% year-on-year to 3,685 crores during the period. EMEA. Our EMEA region, which constitutes our EU region business and South Africa business, registered strong growth of 20.9% year-on-year and 9.8% quarter-on-quarter during this quarter. This has been driven by healthy double-digit growth in EU markets like UK and Germany from products like Lufobic and Namuscla. Emerging markets. Our emerging markets includes the APAC and LATAM regions and have registered sales of 451 crores, a decline of 4.7% year-on-year. On a nine-month basis, revenues grew by 10.5% year-on-year to 1,456 crores, whilst Latin America, like Brazil and Mexico, grew in local currency terms. Overall growth was impacted due to FX in this region. Coming to the P&L, other operating income. Other operating income at 149 crores has increased by 32 crores as compared to a Q3 FY24. And this increase is mainly due to higher PLI and export benefits during the quarter. Gross margins. Coming to the profitability, Q3 FY25, gross margins were 69.4%, up from 66% in Q3 last year. On a nine-month basis, the gross margins at 69% versus 65.7% recorded in a similar period last year, an improvement of 334 basis points. This improvement is driven by multiple factors, which includes better product mix, tailwinds of the input cost, lower share of in-licensed products, increased volumes, and also various cost improvement and efficiencies which have undertaken over the last several quarters. Employee benefit expenses. Employee benefit expense at 984 crores constitutes 10.7% year-on-year from 889 crores in the previous year, translating to 17.5% of sales. On a nine-month basis, employee benefit expenses came in at 2,963 crores, an increase of 14.2% year-on-year, translating to 17.8% as compared to 17.6% of sales the corresponding period last year. This change is largely attributed to higher costs and attributable to regular annual increments and business growth during the period. Manufacturing and other expenses. Q3 FY25 came in at 1,696 crores, increasing 8.7% year-on-year from 1,667 crores in Q2 FY25 and 1,560 crores in Q3 FY24, translating to 30.2% of sales vis-a-vis 30.7% last year. On a nine-month basis, Employee expenses came in at 4,936 crores, an increase of 7.7%. Year-on-year, translating to 29.7% of sales as compared to 31% of sales in corresponding period last year. The expenses are higher, mainly due to R&D costs and higher volumes in the normal course of business. R&D. R&D is at 434 crores, 7.7% of the sales as compared to 448 crores, 8.2% of sales in Q2 FY25. Which almost two-thirds of our R&D directed towards complex portfolio. On a nine-month basis, R&D is 1,232 crores or 7.4% of sales. For the full year, we expect R&D to be around 1,750 to 1,800 crores with a significant increase in R&D in Q4. EBITDA. Excluding Forex and other income, EBITDA was 1,366 crores vis-a-vis 1,022 crores last year. An increase of 33.7% year-on-year with margins of 24.3% versus 20.1% last year in the same period. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, margins have expanded by 51 basis points. This margin expansion is on the backdrop of higher gross margins and lower fixed costs during this period. On a nine-month basis, EBITDA was 3,985 crores, up 42.1% year-on-year with a margin of 24% as compared to 19% the corresponding period last year. Putting all of this together, we believe that we should be able to deliver EBITDA margins in the region of 23% and 23.5% range in FY25. Tax. As far as the ETR is concerned, it was 19.1% in the 9 months FY25. For the full year, we expect the ETR to be about 20 to 21%. Moving on to the balance sheet, operating working capital was 7,071 crores as of 31st December. As against 5,691 crores of for 31st March 24, which translates to 113 days of net working capital as compared to 105 days in the previous, as of 31st March 24. Net debt was 103 crores as against 477 crores as of 31st March 24. Whilst we focus on increased cash generation from our business, we'd also like to highlight that we continuously explore strategic allocation of our capital to ensure the long-term growth vision of the company. Moving on to ESG, the last quarter we strengthened our ESG efforts in both environment and social areas through various initiatives and ensuring that our operations remain water positive year after year. A focus on reducing Scope 1 and Scope 2 emissions strengthened, which include various renewable energy projects. We'd like to update on ESG ratings. Lupin has received a leadership ESG score of A- by CDP for climate and water. The A- rating from CDP includes Lupin performance in environmental transparency and management. The 2024 scores for climate and water represent an improvement from last year's B rating in climate and C rating in water. Further, we've successfully launched an ESG supplier assessment to the third party, encompassing our critical suppliers. We conduct ongoing ESG webinars, workshops to support key suppliers in enhancing their sustainability capacity. This program focuses on providing rural healthcare services to marginal communities. With this, we open the floor for discussions.
Thank you very much, sir, for the wonderful insights. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Please raise your hands from the participant tab on the screen to ask questions. We will wait for 30 seconds for the queue to assemble. Thank you so much. Thanks for the patience. We'll take the first question from Kunal Damesha from Macquarie.
Hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can.
Yeah. Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. First one on the limited competition launches for us in US market over the next two, three quarters. We have discussed few names. I just wanted to understand that, you know, for those names like generic Jynarque, generic glucagon and probably Risperdal Consta, are we on track? And am I missing some key product here which we might be able to launch over the next couple of quarters?
No, the major products are 12-Apton and glucagon, Risperdal Consta, and potentially liraglutide. So those will be the key products for next year.
Sure. Ma'am, can you suggest the probable timelines of that? Tolvaptan is, I believe, is quarter one FY26, but on glucagon and Risperdal Consta, is there any update in terms of approval?
Yes, so we're making progress on both applications with the agency and would expect that, you know, hopefully approval sooner rather than later. But I think it'll be safe to assume that Tolvaptan would be the major contributor in the first half of the fiscal year, and the injectable should ramp up in the second half very nicely.
And the recent inspection at Somerset, has that anything to do with our Risperdal Consta filing? Was it a PAI?
No. Yeah, it was a PAI, but for a suspension product for Edaravone. Okay. It's, the Risperdal Consta product comes from Netherlands. And sure. Is manufactured at a CMO, and both were inspected by the FDA last year and are progressing well.
Sure. Thank you for that update. And second one on the India business, we have cited that the slow growth is primarily due to issues in respiratory therapy. And I believe the respiratory therapy growth itself was quite slow, despite being being in a winter season. So what are the factors that is leading to the slower growth in your view?
Yeah, the market seems to be that way. I mean, sequentially, the number is as an absolute number up actually for respiratory, but it just seems to, I mean, it's been lagging for a while versus the rest of the market. Even for 9 months, the market was only at 4%. We were at 3% for 9 months, and I mean, the quarter again has been disappointing. I do think it'll bounce back. I mean, we've had periods of high double-digit growth on respiratory, but for the last 12, 16 months, it's just been slow. I think the focus right now from a respiratory perspective in the market has been more on anti-infectives and the like, not so much MDI, DPI, inhalation kind of products. But we believe that it'll bounce back, you know, hopefully in the next couple of quarters.
Sir, in your view, what would be the split of, you know, the chronic side of respiratory product like inhalers versus acute, like anti-infective? And
our focus is primarily on that. So our focus is
inhaler side.
Yes, primarily MDI, DPI, a little bit of nebulization. That's it.
Sure, sir. I have more questions. I'll join back the queue. Thank you.
Thanks, Tushar. Thanks, Kunal. We take the next question from Tushar Manudhane from Motilal. Tushar, are you there? Hello.
Hello, I'm audible.
Yeah.
Tushar, yeah, you are.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Particularly first on the R&D spend, where the guidance is that it is going to increase for fourth quarter. So any specific projects which you would like to highlight, which is going to require higher R&D spend compared to 440 crores on a quarterly run rate basis, which we have spent?
You know, your voice was very muffled, but if we got your question correctly, you're asking about the reason for the R&D spend ramping up. A good part of it is our complex generics portfolio. It's five nasal sprays, actually, that we expect to file in Q4 versus the rest of the year. That way we have so majority of the spend is coming into quarter four. Also, injectables, there's a good amount of increase in the second half of the fiscal year. So it's primarily respiratory and injectables.
Drop. Hello. Usha, are you there? Okay, we'll take the next question from Bino, from Ilara. Bino?
Hi, I'm good morning and good evening. Following up on that question on India, this contribution from this tender business, which has helped us show growth in that line, what's the nature of that? Is it going to be steady next year as well, or will it grow, or will it drop off next year?
Are you talking to Bina? India, on the institution business. And I mean, it's been fairly flat. It's been a meaningful number. It'll continue into the next year as well. But I mean, we always call out the business with and without. The India region formulation business, which is the domestic sales business, is 5.8% year on year, or 9.1% for 9 months.
Understood. So this tender part of the business is likely to stay flat next year.
Yes. I mean, it's a good number, and it'll continue with that good number.
Understood. Second, on Mirabegron, what are your thoughts, latest thoughts around the litigation? Are you planning to continue selling it at risk? Any further thoughts since the last call?
Yeah, so no change in terms of litigation status. You know, we continue to navigate through that process. In the meantime, the generic substitution has gone up. The overall available market has gone up. And our share has ramped up nicely as well. So no real change from a competitive scenario standpoint, from the litigation developments.
Understood. And this is likely to, the status quo is likely to continue for a few quarters, or what are your thoughts?
Also, we will, as we navigate through, all of the outcomes of litigation, I mean, we expect in the first quarter of next fiscal year to get a decision on Mirabegron 2 patent and continue to, litigate the others. So, we'll definitely for this fiscal year, we don't expect any change. And then we'll determine the next fiscal year based on outcome of litigation.
Understood. One last question to Ramesh. We have been benefiting from this PLI related income. How long is it likely to continue? How many more quarters?
The benefit is there for the next 3 years.
but I believe you are booking upfront also. So at the current level, how long will it continue? How many quarters?
So they would be declined for sure next year. The normal course, you would be expected to, look at about 200 crores on an annual basis, but you have the benefit of actually taking up to a third more in a particular year alone, which you've taken advantage of this year. But obviously, it would impact on the total quantum of monies that you can claim over the next 3 years.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Bino, for your question. The next question is from Surya Patra from Phillip Capital. Surya? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. First of all, could you clarify what is the nature of this provision that has been created, and have you shared about the specific nature of the dispute also?
So it's basically coming in from litigations. So we don't talk about which litigation and the like. It's a conservative provision, and that's what it is.
Okay, there is nothing to anticipate or nothing to see any kind of risk to relating to the Mira background right now, right?
No.
Okay, sir. Second question is on the respiratory portfolio as a whole. If I remember right, then respiratory has become a more than 30% of the revenue contributor, putting all geography put together. The current period is a kind of a respiratory pro respiratory season. So, what kind of performance that you would have seen for the overall respiratory portfolio for the quarter?
So it's been strong
And
performance in the, yeah, you wanted to complete that question?
yeah. So I mean, is there any, see, we have seen moderation, let's say in India, we have seen some kind of a competition in US relating to albuterol, to be specific. So given that, is there any risk that one should think or consider about this portfolio?
The secular trends would kind of indicate that respiratory is going to be very important for us in America and in other parts of the globe, and of course, India as well. There will be some quarter-on-quarter variations and the like, and that doesn't necessarily mean that the secular trend is going to be upended.
But this is a kind of a seasonal, peak seasonal kind of period. During that period, we are witnessing relatively underperformance. So that's why the question was.
You can't pinpoint the reason why there is a decline in any part, in India and so on. So just take it as it comes that way. But in a
Okay.
general sense, our focus in this on the segment will certainly continue.
So
Okay.
it's really good, strong contribution both in US, Europe, Canada, as well as growing in other parts of the world like Australia. And of course, in India, we have the respiratory market, growth at a muted level that is contributing to the lower growth. But overall, respiratory still continues to be a major therapy area for the organization. It's an area where we expect to bring all the material generic products to market across the globe, and we expect to also innovate like we have done in India with the two triple novel combinations. We continue to work on respiratory green propellants for US, Europe, as well as India, plus other products we have for the opportunity to bring to market. Brands like Xopenex in the US that have been fairly stable. And like, while we have a low growth in respiratory in India, I mean, we're seeing the flu season pick up in the US again. We're seeing another peak. So, the market shares on the respiratory portfolio are fairly strong.
Okay. Last question from my side is about the cost. It is great to see your cost optimization measures really contributing to the improved margin now. And also possibly that is flowing from improved margin is flowing from the improvement, obviously, what we have been seeing in the US business as a whole. So there would be an element of a Mirabegron, which would be a positive surprise and all that. So given that, going ahead, let's say in the next 12-month period, what kind of a margin performance that we should see for the US business? I may not require the number, but qualitatively, if you can talk something about the next year's US profitability that you are anticipating.
So there are some tailwinds in terms of Forex, which you cannot be sure about. But the focus on cost is eternal insofar as we are concerned. And we have seen some good results coming in. We have seen also tailwinds when it comes to input costs. But again, as I said, there are geopolitical tensions, etc., that are actually moving parts. You can't be certain. But I think if you talk about overall margins, I did indicate the fact that between 22.5 to 23.5 would be a good range to kind of aim for the next fiscal as well.
Okay. So, are you really worried about the kind of tariff things which has been talked about? See, although it is like sometimes it has been indicated something like 2.5 on the pharma also, or any this US tariff thing is a kind of area of concern or uncertainty of this for this moment?
Well, so we are monitoring it very carefully, and the industry has made a strong pitch both from AAM standpoint as well as IPA that tariffs will have a significant impact on the generic industry if was implemented in 70% of generic drugs for the US are imported at present. 50% of generics come from India. So there's clearly a significant role that India plays on the generic front. And we've made that case with all the major stakeholders. So we'll find out with the current visit of the PM to the administration what transpires. But we are hoping that pharmaceuticals and generic drugs in particular will be exempted. If it is otherwise, obviously we'll be looking at other ways and means of mitigating the impact with the combination of manufacturing in the US as well as wherever possible, from a cost perspective and otherwise. But watching it very carefully, but hopeful that the case made by the industry is has been heard, and the implications understood that any tariff impact can really cause more product disruption and drug shortages, which no one wants in the country.
Sure, ma'am. Thank you.
Thanks, Surya. We'll take the next question from Anubhav Agarwal from Anubhav?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah.
One question is on Radicava. Vinita, which year can you launch it? Is it next 1 to 2 years or beyond that?
Which product are you referring to, Anubhav?
The Somerset, you had the PAI on Radicava.
I think it's out for a good number of years. It's not in the next 2 years.
Okay, thanks. Second is on the Canada semaglutide opportunity. Would you be in the first year of the opportunity, or are you pursuing that?
The team is working on it. We are hopeful that we'll be in the first wave between 26 and 27.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from Bansi Desai from JP Morgan. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Vinita ma'am, you mentioned about increasing our focus on the specialty business in the US. So if you could just elaborate on that, are we talking about evaluating more acquiring brands like we did in case of Xopenex, or are we also going to evaluate probably late stage assets? So what would be our strategy here, and have you earmarked any investments for this business?
Yeah, so we do want to build specialty as the third major arm or leg for our global business, with the US being a major focus. And assets like Xopenex is a sweet spot for us, products that fit strategic aspirations, building on the respiratory front. Ideally, you know, on market assets, but you know, we know it's difficult to really get on market assets. So we're also looking at late stage assets that are compelling from an investment perspective. You know, and we, as you know, that we are a debt-free company at this point, so have the ability to invest for the right programs, the right opportunities. And, you know, we haven't earmarked, but are committed for the right assets to, you know, explore as well as close, you know, as wherever possible, you know, both acquisitions. Simultaneously, we are also building a pipeline, you know, in the respiratory front with the capabilities we have on the R&D side, the opportunities that we have on the green propellant front, you know, to take the metered dose inhalers and come up with more, you know, climate friendly and achieving both our sustainability goals and offering a differentiated product to the patients and the market. We continue to innovate on that front, on the pipeline. So a combination of both pipeline as well as late stage assets is what we're looking at.
And ma'am, given the you know, biotech funding has been weak out there in the US, is it fair to assume that there is, you know, good assets that are available in the market?
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities right now that, you know, if one could you know, acquire, you know, at least a few assets that are meaningful. It's a really good opportunity to acquire assets.
Okay, noted. And ma'am, secondly, on the tolvaptan opportunity, post-exclusivity, how should we see the competition coming in? Would it be in a staggered manner? And would tolvaptan be a meaningful contributor in fiscal 27 as well for us?
We expect it to have a stronger tail because it's a specialty product, named patient, you know, REMS products. It's, you know, the conversion we expect is going to be slower than what you would expect in a simple oral solid, and the tail should be longer. So we would expect both second half of the fiscal year as other competition comes in, plus into fiscal year 27, it should be a meaningful product.
And therefore, just lastly, in terms of margin trajectory, you know, 2 years out, when I just look at, you know, some of the moving parts, probably PLI would have been normalized. Ginarc also would have been, you know, probably at a normalized levels. But then again, you have certain businesses in India which are probably loss-making today, and that could probably contribute positively. So how should we think about margins, you know, say in fiscal 27, 28? Would fair to assume it would be higher than where we are currently?
You know, given the kind of products that you'd be bringing to the market, obviously the top-line buoyancy would continue. There's also the focus on cost, and we have taken up a number of initiatives which would actually certainly keep that on a tight leash. And the third aspect of the entire program that you spoke about, essentially adjacencies. Clearly, we are losing about a couple of percentage points because of essentially the losses that these adjacencies are kindly lapping up at this stage. But that said, over the next 3 years, we expect that to also turn positive. But we also have growth plans in terms of spinning it off at, you know, at some point. So clearly, you know, upward movement of on the EBITDA front is certainly to be expected.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Bansi. The next question is from Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Hello, Neha. Okay, we'll take the next question, Shayan Mukherjee. Shayan, are you there?
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, thanks. So Vinita, Nilesh, if you can talk about semaglutide other than Canada, which all markets, you know, you already filed. And if you can take us through 2026 and 2027, you know, how should we think about the launches and your preparedness in terms of formulation and API, and how much will be the dependence on partners for this product? So if you can just draw the landscape broadly for this product over the next 2 years, please.
Maybe I can talk about India and then Vinita can add. I think on India, I mean, on the injectable, I mean, there's going to be many players. Obviously, we'll have it in that first wave as well. I think the more interesting part to solve for in India is the oral product. And we're hoping to have that at the time of loss of exclusivity as well. We think that that will be the more important product to deliver on, and that will come from an internal development. And then for other markets, we're obviously looking across. I mean, Canada, we talked about earlier, but Vinita, you want to add for other?
Yeah, I mean, for the oral solid, which is an opportunity also in multiple markets, obviously we have our internal development. And for the injectable semaglutide, we have partnerships in place. For a few markets, we have existing partnerships, others in the works. But we would expect the 27 calendar year to be in at least a handful of the open markets for semaglutide.
And in terms of capacity, anything you can share? Your ability to service the markets, have you invested in that from a formulation perspective?
No, so the oral solid definitely, we have internal capacity as well as injectable. Although we have a partner, we're partnered with companies, we have the ability to double up with our Nagpur facility. But right now, we are counting on partners for the injectable.
Okay, understood. And next one was on green propellant. You mentioned, Vinita, about that opportunity. So how should we think about it? When do we get more clarity on this, and how meaningful this opportunity you see at this point?
Yeah, so we expect the meter dose inhaler market will move materially over the next, maybe start in 5 years, but definitely over the 10 years into the green propellant products. Certainly with the moves that the major pharma companies have made, like GSK, AstraZeneca, as well as Chiesi from a European standpoint, we hope to be at the forefront on, as a material player on the respiratory front, with our Xopenex brand as well as other MDIs to bring better propellant products to the market. So we have multiple products in development right now, not in at the stage where we're filing in the next year, but certainly year next, fiscal year 27, we should start to see product filings.
Understood. And just if I can ask one more question, this is regarding biosimilars. We sense that it's investment slowed down in the recent past. Any fresh thoughts there? Are you planning to step up investments in biosimilar, or any view you have on that space and Lupin's participation?
Yeah, actually, it's a promising trend on the biosimilars front in the US in particular in the last 12 months, both from a regulatory perspective with the FDA easing the requirements on interchangeability. You don't need to do additional studies for interchangeability anymore. And, with the trend on private labels from the large PBMs like with Caremark and Humira, what they did with the Sandoz, the Cordavis label that converted majority of the market from Humira to the biosimilar, that is a promising trend on the market front. In the past, as we looked at it, both from a development perspective, we saw the biosimilars had were fairly onerous, capital intensive. And then from a go-to-market standpoint, you needed commercial infrastructure, and both seem to start easing up at this point. So it's a really positive trend. I mean, we have a good number of products for the near term. So we continue to invest in those. As I mentioned, ranibizumab was filed in EU this past quarter, will be filed in the US. So we have pegfilgrastim that we still see as an opportunity, as we get the product approved. We have ranibizumab, aflibercept, and then etanercept in 29 that comes into the market in the US, where we should be one of three in the market. And then we have other products like satralizumab and mepolizumab, respiratory products as well that we are pursuing. So it looks like the biosimilar market is starting to open up, and as it does, we'll continue to look at opportunities where as it opens up, and on the one side the challenges come down, but the competition goes up. So our focus is very much going to be in limited competition products where we're going to be in the first wave, where we can be one of two, one of three. That is the kind of focus that we will have from a portfolio standpoint. So it will be a fairly selective number of products that we will pursue.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Shayan. Before we move on, can we request everyone to limit your questions to a maximum two so that we can accommodate more callers? You can always get back in the queue for more questions. Thank you. The next question is from Shyam Srinivasan.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my question.
Hello.
I think you went on mute.
He dropped.
Yeah, okay.
You're in the we'll take the next question from his back.
I think we can hear him. Yeah.
Hello, Shyam.
Go ahead, Shyam. Okay, let's.
I think maybe move to the next one before we.
On the European market, the kind of growth that we have seen, about 20%. If you could kind of articulate what's driven that growth, I think you called out two products, but just want to understand the sustainability of the growth in the European market for the path ahead.
Yeah, so respiratory portfolio has been a big contributor in the European growth, in particular in UK as well as Germany, where we've continued to grow our market share with Luforbec, and now with the Nalcrom addition in Germany in particular, that's helped us grow Germany. With the combination of Luforbec as well as Nalcrom. So respiratory portfolio has been a big contributor for the European growth, and we expect to continue revenues at the current level. So wherever we can, we will grow share. We are getting into new markets in Europe as well. Right now we are in 13 countries with Luforbec, but have the potential of launching in countries like Spain and others. So continue to make inroads there.
Understood. Thank you. And just the second question, going back to the question on tariffs. If you see there's increasing, a risk that 10% import tariffs come on critical imports in the US, and the critical imports do include pharmaceuticals at this point of time. So I'm just going to ask a hypothetical question in case it gets announced as early as next February, 18th February seems to be the date. What are the mitigation efforts in terms of, do we have pricing power to increase that onto our customers, or you think we are going to have to absorb it at the start and then negotiate? Because moving manufacturing and other stuff, while we have capacity, probably takes time. So I just want to understand the push and pulls around. I know it's a hypothetical question, but seems, given what is happening on trade, a more likely one than not. So just want to see from a management preparedness, in case such tariffs occur, what is the thought process?
So we are looking at multiple different avenues there, to look at, the impact and how you mitigate it. But as an industry, we have all aligned on the fact that the industry has gone through a lot of pressures and cannot take on critical medicines, high volume, low price medicines, cannot bear additional costs. So with 70% of the products imported into the country on the generic front, 50% contribution overall generics from India, I mean, one would expect prices would go up in case on critical medicines, in case there are tariffs implemented. So again, I mean, it's hypothetical, but as an industry, we have everyone recognizes the impact that tariffs can have on the cost of goods, and understands that it either leads to a cost increase for the market, or you're going to see disruptions in the market.
Thank you.
And
thank
you're not reckoning the, you know, the response of the Indian government also. They actually reduced tariff on certain rates on certain categories of goods and so on from America. So we don't know their response for this particular category also as yet.
Thank you. Thank you, Ramesh. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Shyam. We'll take the next question from Vivek Agarwal from Citi. Hello, Vivek. Okay, I'll guess we'll move on.
Hello.
To...
Hello.
Yeah, Vivek, we can hear you.
Hi. So the question is related to tolvaptan. Given that this is going to be an at-risk launch, and you have highlighted that this is going to be a ranked REMS product, and conversion is expected to be slower. So what kind of the market share you are expecting during exclusivity? Is this going to be, let's say, around 15-20% or maybe higher, like 30-40%? So any color, if you can provide, that would be super helpful.
Yeah, we hope that it gets to the 30-40% level based on the partnerships we have established with the key channel partners on the product. We expect it to be hopefully in the 30-40% level.
Thanks. And a related question, post to 182 exclusivity, right? How many players you are expecting in this particular product? Maybe 2-3 or maybe higher?
Yeah, we're expecting 2-3 additional players.
Thanks, this from my side.
Thanks, Vivek. We'll take the next question from Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Vinita, there has been a lot of general concern in the sector with respect to sector facing certain sort of US sales erosion post, in F27, post Revlimid, sales going away. While we don't have the Revlimid challenges, we do have our set of large ticket products in 26, like Tolvaptan, maybe Mirabegron, as you mentioned, continuing in 26. So, I mean, as you see the business looking through a couple of years out in F27, do you see a risk of, these also so growing or not, degrowing or not growing over the 26 base that you will end up creating?
Yeah, so we have a strong pipeline that we are pursuing. Some of these products that, we're expecting maybe competition to come in, just gone by how long it has taken for us to get approval on products like, say, Spiriva, right? That took us 5 years to get FDA approval. One, believes that it's going to take longer for competition also to get approved. So we do feel, with the pipeline that we have in place, that we should be able to continue to drive growth in the US market, despite pressures on, products where you lose exclusivity.
So, I mean, we're going to be doing double-digit growth in 20.
Sorry?
To be in a position to do double-digit growth all over 20, in 27 or 26?
Next, it depends on so many things, really, essentially. So we have a rich pipeline, but as you say, there are moving parts because of various things. But over the next 5 years, we are focusing on what we think would be, the complex portfolio, and that would help in kind of securing growth over the next 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah, we expect fiscal year 26, the US should be at $1 billion+, and then look at how we can sustain the growth from there.
I think it dropped out, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from Neha Manpuria.
Yeah, hi. Sorry about the last time. Quick question. First, on the capital allocation, if I were to, ask for a rank order in terms of, where we would pursue M&A, would it be India, specialty, biosimilars? How should I think about, priorities for capital allocation for Lupin?
So, you correctly point out, the highest priority would obviously be India. There would, of course, be opportunities in generics up to a particular limit in other parts, including America. And of course, we have a larger chunk of reserve for speciality itself.
And would you like to earmark a number as to what we would like to spend in, let's say, India or US generic, in case of acquisitions?
I think Ramesh meant to say, India, specialty, and then generics wherever we need it.
Oh, okay.
And in that order.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Sorry about that.
With specialty and India being the major focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And we don't have like a earmark number as to this is what we would like to invest in, let's say, India specialty.
No, it's based on the opportunity and what we see in terms of synergies as well as growth potential.
But having said that, we would be comfortable with a bite-size acquisition, $200 to $250 million should be easy enough for us.
In each of these areas?
Oh, several of them.
Several of them, yeah.
Okay, yeah, got it. Okay. Second, I think in the past we've talked about CDMO opportunity, that we're probably exploring, for growth beyond, 27. Any update there? Have we looked at CapEx? What's the thought process on that?
Yeah, so we've spun out Lupin Manufacturing Solutions and there's a whole team that's been put together for this as well. So, efforts are on in all earnest now. They're actually putting their strategy together, which they'll have in place. So we'd hope to give some more flavor on this next quarter.
Okay. And have you earmarked the CapEx for this, Nilesh?
No, it'll come along with the strategy.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Neha. We'll take the next question from Harsh Bhatia. Harsh,
yeah,
are you there? Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Just very quickly, Spiriva market share for FY25, our target was somewhere around 35-40%. Till December, as per the presentation, is around 30-31%. So what are the plans for Spiriva market share at this stage, including commercial versus Medicaid channel? That's the first one.
Yeah, so the team has done a really good job in activating multiple areas from a conversion standpoint. And we're just starting to see early days, but we're starting to see some impact already in January where the TRX share has become high 30s, has gone to 38% level, and NRX is 40% plus. So, the multiple efforts on from a copay standpoint to ease the burden on the patient, to access into Medicare, Medicaid through contracting, plus other avenues are starting to show results. So we are hopeful that we sustain this level into the rest of the quarter and into the next fiscal year to get the overall market share to hopefully 40% plus.
Sorry, just one clarification on this incremental market share that is panning out. Earlier mentioned that at commercial level, you were already at 50% plus. So this incremental market share is sort of coming from the non-commercial side of the business?
That's right.
And again, sorry to harp on this, but this is sort of related to the out-of-pocket capping that the innovator had undertaken, let's say, a few months back. Does that sort of relate to that in any extent?
No, maybe we can take this question offline, but it's, needless to say, the efforts that the team has put in to drive conversion to our generic are starting to show. We'll have to still continue to monitor the trend to see if it is sustainable, but it's looking good so far in January
into February. Thank you. Very lastly, on this $250 million run rate for the quarter for FY26, basically $1 billion number. What is the assumption for Mirabegron, if I may ask, for this number?
Yeah, we assume that additional competition comes in the second half of the year on Mirabegron. We've assumed that albuterol faces competition, or impact of competition that has already started and additional. And we've assumed that tolvaptan helps tremendously in the first half and injectables plus tolvaptan in the second half.
No, thank you so much.
I think we're at the hour. Maybe we take last two questions.
Yeah, we're on to the last one. So we'll take one last question from Tushar Manulani. Tushar, can you hear us?
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yeah, yes. You are.
Sorry for the disturbance. Just continuing on R&D spend, where you have highlighted 1800 crores for 1750 to 1800 for FY25. Could you call out for FY26 as well on absolute basis how much R&D spend do you have?
I would say, you know, as an absolute, there would be an increase, but as a percentage of sales, it will perhaps be around the same levels. But given the focus that we have on more complex stuff and the like, you know, this is inevitable.
So 1800 to 1900 crores, safe to assume that much of the spend to be happening.
Yeah, that's a slight increase over that, if necessary.
Okay. And just if you could share specifically for Canada semaglutide, like market in terms of units, how big it could be?
Volume? Take it offline.
You can take that offline, please.
Oh, all right. That's it from us.
Thank you, Dushar. Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
Thank you. Hopefully, we have been able to answer all your questions. We'll be happy to take any that we have not been able to get to offline. You know, there were a lot of questions on you know, what is likely to happen in the U.S. from a tariffs perspective. And, you know, as I mentioned, we hope that the industry efforts do pay off, in, you know, in terms of to ensure sustainability of the U.S. generic industry in the interest of patients as well as other stakeholders. You know, from a Lupin standpoint, we are very pleased with how the company has performed this fiscal year and really excited with the potential in the near term with our major growth drivers, you know, looking very clear from a approvability standpoint as well as market launch standpoint, and improving market conditions in new areas for Lupin like biosimilars. We look forward to continue to execute you know, our strategic plan to drive growth across our key major markets and evolve our business. You know, from generics into more branded and specialty on top of complex generics in the year ahead, and certainly in the next couple of years. So thank you again for your support and attention. We look forward to catching up with you at the end of this fiscal year in May, hopefully in person. Thank you again.
Thank you very much to the entire management team. On behalf of Lupin Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now exit the webinar. Thank you.